Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Friday, October the 14th, 2016. We're going to be covering Deuteronomy 25 and 26 today. The actual Hebrew name of Deuteronomy is Ele Debarim, meaning these are the words. And we are on a continuation of a repeat of a lot of the rules and regulations given by Moshe to the first generation of the Israelites. It's being repeated for the next generation and their children, because Moshe is preparing to be taken by Yahweh. He knows this, so he is taking care of all this beforehand. He knows he's going to have to be punished, and he's going to have to go. And they've chosen Yahshua, the son of Nun, to replace him, and he's just making sure everybody knows all the rules. Let's get into chapter 25 here, verse 1. If there is a controversy, 7:3, 7:9, between men, and they come to the place of judgment, 4:9, 4:1, and are judged, 8:1, 9:9, they shall justify, 6:6, 6:3, the righteous, 6:6, 6:2, and condemn, 7:5, 6:1, the wicked, 7:5, 6:3. Hey, that's more justice again. The judges are to judge righteously, not to play favorites. Verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked is a son of smiting, in other words, he's somebody that hits people all the time, the judge shall cause him to fall down, 5:3:07, and to be smitten before him. Sufficient, 17:67, for his fault, 7:5:6:4. By the number, 4:5:5:7, of blows. They're going to cane him. They're going to smite him with a cane. Verse 3, 7:05, smitings, no more, 3:2:5:4, lest, 6:4:3:5, if more, and smite upon him many stripes, 7:2:2:7, and 4:3:4:7, then your kinsman might seem vile, 7:0:3:4, in your sight. And verse 3, you reference 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 24. You don't want him to think that you hate him and he's vile in your sight because you just beat him half to death. You just give him sufficient punishment for his crime. You don't go overboard with it and take out vengeance on the guy if you're a judge. Even if you don't like the guy, you still have to be just. That's why you're a judge. The judges today are out of control. They just do whatever they want. But the judges back then were under constraint of Yahweh. Verse 4, you shall not muzzle, 2:6, 2:9, the ox, 7:7:9:4, when it treads out, 1758, grain. In other words, it's going around a big treadmill, and it milled grain, and the grain would spill over, and the ox, as a reward, could bend its heads down and get a big mouthful of grain and just munch along and gets a little treat for doing all that work. Hey, that's fair to the ox. This is all about fairness. That's all this is about, fairness. And verse 4, you can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, and 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. And the grain here is implied by 1758 to tread out. Because that's what that word means, to tread out grain. So grain is attached to that, and it's in italics. 5. If brothers live together, and one dies and has no children, it shall not be that the wife of the dead shall go outside, 2351, the family, to a foreign, 2114, man. The brother-in-law, 2993, shall go in unto her and take her as a wife. And, this is all one word, perform the duty of a brother-in-law, 2992, to her. That is, Yubama. Verses 5 and 6, you can reference Genesis 38:8. Matthew 22:24, Mark 12:19, and Luke 20:28, shall go in unto her. He goes in and has sex with her, and she is instantly his wife. That's how they married. They consummated with the act. They did not have, they had a party sometimes, but she wasn't his wife officially until they had sex. That's how they married. They went in, they went in the tent, and got it on. And that things have changed. Now we have all this huge, big thing, and we've had traditions that we developed in Europe and all of that. And we brought that over to the United States with us and all of that. But that's not how they did it back in the old days. I want this woman for a wife. And she goes in the tent with him and bada bing, bada boom, she's a wife. And nothing was said. They didn't have to have a license. They didn't get permission from the state. They didn't register their children with the state and get them a number. It was righteous back then. And she stayed with him, and she was his wife, and that was it. It was over. She was married. Verse 6. And now let's go back up just for a second. Because the sexual act was an act of marriage. Anything else is fornication. You didn't have affairs. It wasn't light duty. If you were with a woman, you were married to her. And if you didn't keep her, you were going to be punished. They'd probably kill you. They took things really serious back then. A different time, different place, different rules. What we have in society today is mostly immorality. They get hot and cold beds, musical beds, wife swapping, all this nonsense that's going on today. You just, come on. It's not moral. It's not according to Yahweh's laws. It was a permanent thing. If you went in to a woman, you were married. And unless she was fooling around, you couldn't get rid of her. So you better be sure. verse 6, it shall be, the firstborn that she bears shall be raised, 6-9, 6-5, that means to stand upon the name of, raised up upon the name of the dead brother, that his name not be wiped out, 4-2-2-9, from Israel. So the brother-in-law's first child by her wasn't in his name, it was in his brother's name. That child would be Joe, son of Bill. And the brother-in-law's name's John. Well, his first kid was son of Bill, his brother. Verse 7. If the man does not desire, 2-6-5-4, to take his brother's wife, 2-6-5-4, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my brother-in-law refuses, 3985, to raise up his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a brother-in-law. In other words, he doesn't want to take her in the tent. And verses 7 through 10 here, you can reference Ruth chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, about the levirate law. Then shall call him the elders of the city and speak to him. And if he stands and says, I do not desire, 2-6-5-4, to take her. Then shall approach, 5-0-6-6, him, his sister-in-law, 2-9-9-4, in the sight of the elders, and draw off, 2-5-0-2, his shoe, 5-2-7-5, from upon his foot, and spit in his face, 3-4-1-7, and shall answer and say, shall it be done to a man that will not build up, 11-29, his brother's house. Verse 10, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of the one of the drawn off shoe, big disgrace. He didn't do his duty. Because they were prolific back then. Children were the mark of success. And he's denying her a child. Bad business. He had a bad name in the community after that. Verse 11, when men struggle, 5-3-2-7, together one man with a kinsman, and the wife of the one draws near, 7-1-2-6, to rescue, 5-3-3-7, her husband from the hand of he that smites him, and she puts forth her hand and seizes, 2-3-8-8, him by the pudenda, 4-0-1-6, that is mabushev, that's the sexual organ. She reaches out and grabs him and pulls on him. Your eye shall not pity. Pardon me, I misread that. 12. Then you shall cut off, 7-1-1-2, the palm of her hand, 3-7-0-9, your eye shall not pity, 2-3-4-7. Ooh, you didn't reach out and grab a fella like that. And I've seen that done in bars. A couple of guys get to fighting and one guy's woman reaches out and snatches the other guy and pulls him off of her husband. He's yowling and hollering. That's bad business. Verse 13, there shall not be in your bag, 3-5-9-9, that's a bag that you use to do business with your balance scale and all that other stuff, multiple stones, 6-8-6-8, they use stones as weights for balance scales. And they had them, and so they'd grind them and have them a uniform weight. That was an honest stone and an honest scale. A great 1419 and a small 6996. That's dishonest. Yeah, I got honest stones here. This one, look, he weighs it, and it balances out, and it's right, okay. And then all of a sudden, he switches it by sleight of hand and puts a lighter stone on there. That's Jewish. And chapter 25, verses 13 through 16, you reference Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. Verse 14, there shall not be in your house multiple ephahs, 374, doubled, a great and a small. That's a dry measure. Okay. You have a big bushel basket and a slightly smaller bushel basket to cheat somebody. That's Jewish. A stone... perfect, 8003, and just, 6664, there shall be. An ephah perfect and just there shall be. So that long, 748, shall be your days upon the land that Yahweh Elohecha gives you. And, the ephah was a receptacle for measuring grain, okay? That's dry measure. And if you're going to cheat somebody, you have a light ephah. Oy, such a deal. 16. For an abomination, 8441, to Yahweh Elohecha are all the that do these things, all that do unrighteously. 5766. See, this is all about righteousness and fairness. Verse 17 through 19, reference Exodus 17, 8 through 14, and 1 Samuel 15, 2 through 9. Verse 17, remember what did to you Amalek on the way when you came forth from Mitzrayim. Okay? How they met you by the way and attacked the rear of you. Attack the rear is 2179. All that were feeble, 2826, behind you, and you were faint, 5889, and weary, 3023. And they did not fear, 3372, Elohim. Verse 19. It shall be when gives you rest, 5117, Yahweh Elohecha, from all your hated enemies around you, in the land that Yahweh Elohecha gives you as an inheritance of possession, you shall wipe out. Wipe out is 4229, the remembrance, 2143, of Amalek from under the sky. Do not forget, 7911 with an exclamation point. Now, we get into chapter 26. And this also is not a very long chapter. It's just got more rules in it. These are reiterations of the rules that were given in the early scriptures. And it shall be when you come to the land which Yahweh Elohecha gives to you for an inheritance and possess it and dwell in it. Verse 2 of chapter 26. That you shall take of the first, 7225, of all the fruit, 6529, of the ground, that's the soil itself, which you shall bring of your land, which Yahweh Elohecha gives you, and shall put it in a basket, 2935, and shall go to the place which shall choose Yahweh Elohecha to establish, 7931, his name there. Now, verse 2, you can reference Exodus 23, verse 19. Now, he's speaking here of the coming temple in the future, and when they go to Jerusalem and establish his name there, before they built the temple, they put this tabernacle that they were carrying around with them up on the top in the same place they were going to build the temple in the future. And the first temple didn't come to pass as a physical structure until the time of King Solomon, David's son. Verse 3, and you shall go to the priest that shall be in those days, that's in the future, and say to him, I declare this day to Yahweh Elohecha, for I have come to the land that swore Yahweh to our forefathers to give us. Verse 4, and the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of Yahweh Elohecha. Verse 5, and you shall speak and say before Yahweh Elohecha, an Arami, 761, ready to perish, 6, in your concordance, was my forefather. What did I tell you when I said they had an heir, you shall not abhor an Edomi? Well, it's an Arami, not an Edomi. This backs it up. He went down to Mitzrayim and sojourned there with few, 4962 and 4592, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous, 7227. He's speaking of Jacob, son of Abraham, son of Terach, who lived in the land of Aram, thus an Arami. Aram was the son of Shem. All that family was of that Shemitic bloodline. Shemitic people. Arami. Yeshua Messiah spoke Aramaic. Verse 6, and did evil to us, 7489, the Mitzrim, 4713, and afflicted us, 6031, and put upon us harsh, 7186, bondage. Remember how they beat him in the time of Moshe? They didn't remember Joseph that saved all of Mitzrayim, because the rulers were no longer Mitzrayim. They were Hyksos. They had conquered Mitzrayim. Verse 7. We cried, 6817, to Yahweh, Elohe of our forefathers. It means the divine being of our forefathers, heard Yahweh our voice and saw our affliction, 6040, our misery, 5999, and oppression, 3906. Yeah, they were treating them real, real harshly. Get another cold drink of water here, wet the old whistle. And brought us forth, Yahweh, from Mitzrayim with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terrors, 41:72, and with signs and with wonders. All that stuff he did with the frogs and the locusts and the bloody water and the firstborn dying and dust and gnats and swarms. And he had said to Abraham, your people will serve in a foreign land and they will be afflicted, and I will punish that land. Well, that was way back in Abraham's time, way before Moshe. And he did all that he said he was going to do. He really punished the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 9. And he has brought us to this place and given us this land, a land that flows with milk and honey. That was the original land of Israel before we went into apostasy and got kicked out by Yahweh and scattered all over the world. Well, we're pretty much in a land with milk and honey right now, but it's being stolen from us and has been being stolen from us, and we don't have access to it because the Edomite Jews are taking it away from us. They're robbing us of our birthright. They're trying to steal our name, calling themselves Israel when they are not. But it's all going to be fixed because Yeshua is going to come back and fix it. For those of us who are the remnant, those of us who come back to the worship of Yahweh and stop worshiping in the churches of apostasy and the Talmudic Christian churches. We have to come out of them. We've been telling you that. It's going to get worse. Yes, we understand it. We're in Jacob's trouble right now. This is not the tribulation. This is pre-tribulation. So if it's bad now and you see all the stuff that's going on now, just think of how bad it's going to be when we go into full trib, folks. No rapture. We're going to live through the tribulation. That rapture business is nonsense. Verse 10, and now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the ground, that's 127, Adama, which you have given me, Yahweh, and you shall set it before Yahweh Eloheka, and prostrate yourself, 7812, before Yahweh Eloheka. Verse 11, and you shall rejoice in every good thing which gives you Yahweh Eloheka, and to your household, you and the Lewi and the sojourner among you. Verse 12, and when you have made an end of tithing, 6237, all the tithes, 4643, of your increase, 8393, the third year, the year of tithing, 4643, and have given it to the Lewi, the sojourner, the fatherless child, and the widow, so they may eat within your gates and be satisfied. See, that's what tithing is. It's feeding the poor and the fatherless orphans, and the strangers, the sojourners, the visitors, the temporary residents within your land. And verse 12, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. Verse 13, then you shall say before Yahweh Eloheka, that means your divine being, I have removed these hallowed things from my house. Hallowed things, 6944, means to be dedicated to Yahweh. And also have given them to the Lewi, that's the Levite, and the sojourner, the fatherless child, and the widow, according to all your commandments, 4687, that you commanded, 6680. I have not passed beyond your commandments and have not forgotten them, 7911. Yahweh commanded justice and kindness and love and compassion. That's what he commanded. 14. I have not eaten from it in sorrow, 205. Nor have I removed from it for unclean use, 2931. Nor given from it for the dead. No sacrifice for the dead. I have listened to the voice of Yahweh Elohe, and that's speaking in singular, my divine being, and done according to all you have commanded me. Verse 15. Look down, 8259, from your habitation, 4583, of holiness, 6944, from the sky, 8064, and bless your people, Israel, and the land which you have given us, as you swore to our forefathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. And for a while it was like that in Israel, when they were obedient, before they fell and started doing all the nonsense that they started doing, which got us kicked out. Because I'm speaking of our own people here. I'm speaking of us. I'm speaking to my fellow Israelites out there. They're the ones that are listening. That's all the scripture's for, is for Israel. It's not for anybody else but Israel. Chapter 26, verse 16. This day, Yahweh Elohecha has commanded you to do these statutes, 2706, and judgments, 4941. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your being, 5315. Now, 5315 has multiple uses, your being, your person, your soul, your desire, a bunch of things. So do them with all your heart and with all your being means that you will physically be obedient to Yahweh's commands. This is physical, actual obeying, keeping the feast, etc., etc. Verse 17, Yahweh, you have said this day is to you Elohim. In other words, you are claiming Yahweh as your divine being. And you will walk in his ways. In other words, you will do as he has commanded and will keep his statutes and his commandments, 4687, and his judgments, and will listen to his voice. That's real clear. Real, real clear. Verse 18, and Yahweh has said, 559, this day you will be his treasured, 5459, people. As he spoke, 1696, to you, and to keep all his commandments. Now, verse 18, you can reference Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. And chapter 7, verse 6. And chapter 14, verse 2. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, and the book of 1 Peter 2, chapter 9, verse 9. Now, verse 19. And will place 5414, and will place you high, 5945, above all the nations, 1471, that he made. In praise, 8416, and name, 8034, and glory, 8597, so you may be a people holy, 6918, to Yahweh Eloheka, as he has spoken. All right, he said he was going to place us above all the other people on the earth. And he loves us. Yes, this is true. He's our Father. But we as a nation turned to disobedience. We started to go into apostasy. We started to mess around with some of the nations surrounding us. Even King Solomon married foreign wives, racially alien women. He had some Israelites in there. That's where we get the pure bloodline. But he had all these wives and concubines from Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and Perizzites, whatever hell. He really just race-mixed like crazy. And because of this, Yahweh ripped Israel away from him. He will not be king over all of Israel. We're going to separate. And there's going to be 10 tribes that are going to go north, and only Yehuda and Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin, are going to remain here. And that's what your son's going to rule, because I'm going to take it away, not in your day, but in your son's day, because I promised David that you will rule, and you are ruling, and now you are a fool instead of a wise man, and you're worshiping idols. He built temples and grow in high places to all these foreign gods and sacrificed to them. He had all these racially alien women, and Yahweh told us, you will not mix with these nations because the women will cause you to go astray. They will take you away from me and put you in with their foreign, in other words, racially alien, Elohim, their little false gods. Well, that is exactly what happened with King Solomon. David made that thing with Uzzah and Bathsheba, and he paid a price. The baby died, but he was utterly repentant, and Yahweh blessed him, and blessed him with the Solomon the son, and Nathan the son. If you look in the bloodline of Yeshua Messiah, Yosef comes from Solomon through one of his pure Israelite wives. And Miriam, the one they call Mary, came from the Nathan side of King David. So Yeshua, even though Yosef was not his actual father, he had the legal heir to the birthright of Shlomo. Back to King David. And Miriam had the pure bloodline of Nathan, who did not, Nathan, if you must, who did not mix, and the Holy Spirit itself was the Father of Yahshua Messiah. So you had a pure bloodline there. There was no admixture of any Canaanite or cursed seed blood in his bloodline. It all goes back to these chapters back here. Obedience. Well, if we would have stayed obedient, we'd still be over there. We did not. And now look at what is over there. These racial mongrels, they call them the Palestinians. That's a misnomer anyway. And then they have the Edomite, Khazar mixture with the seed of Canaan that are calling themselves Jews, and they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And they're fighting among themselves. And they want a secular Jewish state to run by their Babylonian Talmud, which is how they rule. And they've inflicted that Babylonian Talmud on us here and in all the nations they financially control through their usury. And we're like John the Baptist here, crying in the wilderness, trying to get our people to wake up and come back to the pure worship of Yahweh and Yahshua as Messiah, and stop obeying the Talmudism that the Judeo-Christian churches are promoting, because they have been infiltrated just as the Aharonic priesthood was infiltrated in the time of Yahshua Messiah. They had Edomites as the priests, and it was not the Romans that put Yahshua Messiah to death. It was the Edomite priests, the same people today that call themselves Jews. Same people. The synagogue of Satan. And he reviled them and castigated them for teaching Talmudism in the temple. And that is why they hated him. My namesake, Stephen, was stoned to death for preaching the name of Yahweh, because they declared, the rabbinical people then declared, that the name of Yahweh was too holy to pronounce. And they substituted Adonai, which means Lord, and they called him Adonai, or Hashem, the name. They do that today. They've got that in all your Bibles. The Lord. Well, the name is not the Lord. It's Yahweh. Jesus. Well, the name is not Jesus. It's Yahshua. Yah is salvation, because he was an earthly manifestation of the Father. He said so. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He told him, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what commandments did he give? He quoted Torah. He taught Torah. He taught kingdom redemption for all of Israel, not personal salvation, running up to an altar and making a big show. He taught kingdom redemption for Israel alone. He said, I don't come for anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But churchianity today wants to expand that in universalism and bring every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every mutt that they can find, every race mixer, they want to bring them into the congregation. It said right there in Deuteronomy in chapter 23 that I read to you, "Shall not come a mamzer," that is one of mixed blood, "or a mongrel, into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh." How plain is that? You can't mistake that. You can't twist it, but they're ignoring it. And you go into your Judeo-Christian churches today and you see mixed race couples and mixed blood children. And they're hallelujahing and amening and they're worshiping Jesus and praising the Lord. But they're not calling upon Yahweh and they're not praising Yeshua Messiah. And they get very upset when you rock their little boat. Because they've got a big congregation, they've got lots of money coming in. And they are taught in seminary school all these lies to teach other people, to bring in all these people because they're running a successful business. And they don't want the financial boat rocked. They really don't. A lot of the churches are teaching against homosexuality, but a lot of them are not. And formerly, conservative congregations are now liberalized. It's becoming politically incorrect to preach against the sodomites. And if they are a 501c3 corporation, they will be told not to preach that because they will lose their status. Now I have to pay taxes, and they will immediately cave because it's all about the money. Anything that the Jews control is about the money. And the Jews do indeed control the Judeo-Christian churches that teach Talmud Christianity. They're not teaching true Christianity. They're teaching the Talmud and the Talmudic laws. They're celebrating pagan holidays, which the Pope ushered in to bring in the sun worshipers. And they get all upset when you bring this out. Oh, it's fun for the children! Paganism is fun for your children. Worshipping Asherah, the goddess of fertility, on Ishtar Sunday, it's fun for the children with your Easter eggs and your bunnies, your fertility symbols. Why don't you just all strip off and teach your children about sex? Because that's what it's about. Just strip off and just go at it. Everybody just partner to partner. Just all hop around like in the old days. Get you a big pole and do the maypole dance out there and do the all the rituals and all that stuff, and then just fornicate like crazy. Because that's what it is. That's what it's about. Oh, that's terrible. You can't say that. I just did say that. You're teaching your children to worship in a pagan sex cult. And the Jews behind the scenes are programming them in the schools with their video games, by the Talmud vision, by their movies, by all these videos, to be good little pagans and just to be a bunch of fornicators. That's what your children are being taught. And you're aiding and abetting in this by teaching them all this pagan ritual in your Judeo-Christian Talmudic churches. That's what's going on. You need to cleanse yourself and come out from among this paganism and be ye separate, as is commanded Israel. We are not to mix this stuff in with our services. But that is precisely what is being done today. Oh, you harp on that too much. I need to harp on this. You need to read the scriptures and find out what's what. Don't just listen to the guy up on the pulpit trying to get you to come running forward and crying out to Jesus. There is no Jesus. It's a false name. The name is Yeshua, son of Yahweh. The name means Yah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. All through the Old Testament, Yahweh said, I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. I am your salvation. All through the Old Testament. And he is, because he was an earthly manifestation in the body of a man in Yeshua. Yahweh doesn't lie. But the churches do. They don't teach you who he really was. He's the son of God. God is a title. It is not a name. The name is Yahweh. There's many gods. That comes from Gad, the deity of fortune and luck. Did you know that? It's where the term God comes from. It's from Gad. Elohim doesn't mean God. It means mighty one, magistrate, divine being, judge. It's a title. One that's got a capital E, Elohim, and used with Yahweh. It's Yahweh, the divine being. Yahweh Elohim. As in the one and only divine being, the creator. It's also used of judges. In the book of Ruth, your Elohim shall be my Elohim. They were changing familial family territory. They're going back to Yehuda out of the occupied land of Moab, and she was going to be under a judge of Yehuda instead of the judge that was in that territory. But they've manipulated it and said, your God is my God. That is inaccurate. That's not what it says. Well, she was a Moabite. No, she was in the nation of Moab. She was nationally a Moabite, but racially an Israelite. She didn't change God. She changed judges. Because the whole book starts out when the judges rule the land. That sets the tone for the whole book of Ruth. I'll get into that when I get to the book of Ruth. That'll be upcoming. And it'll open your eyes as to how these people have perverted the scripture to suit their own ends. And they're continuing to do so, and they're continuing to teach so today. So, the Judeo-Christian churches cannot be trusted. And in all sincerity, a lot of their pastors truly believe this because that's what they were indoctrinated with in the seminary schools. And they really don't understand or speak the language. They don't understand the Hebrew idioms and figures of speech and metaphors. They haven't read a corrected text like I have put out. I have unrewritten the scriptures. I put it back as it originally was and removed all the tampering that I could. using the imperfect Masoretic text, and I ignore the vowel points, pretty much, and put down the words, you know, and I have a really good library of lexicons and dictionaries and research material stuff I build up. Eli James has helped me with that immeasurably. And I try to give it as it is in the Hebrew, and it's totally different than what it is in the English in many, many areas. You deserve that, people. You deserve the hardcore truth. Sometimes it upsets people because it doesn't say what the King James Bible says, but the King James perversion has so many errors in it, it's almost worthless. And a lot of the new Bibles, like the Living Bible and some of the other stuff, really horrible translations. Just totally perverted. A little more ice water there. Study, folks. Don't take my words verbatim. Question. Please question. Read it for yourself. Look up the words yourself. Strong's is a beginner's concordance. It has errors in it. You cannot trust your Strong's for everything because they don't differentiate between actual definitions and usage in the King James Bible to which it is keyed. They confuse you there. Well, look, it says this. I don't know. That's what it says in the King James Bible. The words preceding that is what it means. They haven't distinctly separated the actual meanings from the usages. And it's very easy to be led astray by Strong's. You need a better quality lexicon. And study and learn some of the Hebrew letters and some of the words. I give them to you and I give you the Strong's numbers for them. The Hebrew meanings are most often totally different from the English mistranslations. And that is why I go out of my way to explain them individually whenever I can. Whenever they differ in the passage from what is translated in the English, well, I have corrected those passages and I give you the correct translation of those words. And I want you to go and I want you to look them up. That's why I give you the Strong's numbers. You can go in the archives and get my prior shows if you really need to get every little single word. You can get that in the archives. You can also read my stuff. I'm getting more and more of it computerized. I'm still stuck in the Book of Numbers. I haven't put it all up yet, but Numbers and Deuteronomy are fairly accurate. They will be computerized fully, hopefully by the end of this year. And I'll have the whole Torah done at least. I'm going to finish up Deuteronomy here shortly on my show and go into the book of Yahshua, that's Joshua, and tell how they came into the promised land, finish up Deuteronomy when Moshe is taken, and all of that. I'm just about out of time here, folks, so I'm going to wish you Shalom Aleichem, which means peace be with you. And I'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the